Good morning and welcome back to the WINY Talk Show. Once again, John Mahan filling in for Dave Ward. And we have our special guest with us. We have Attorney General William Tong. How are you doing today, Mr. Tong?
Hey, John, how are you?
I am doing excellently. So I understand you just got back from a human rights conference at the Woodstock Academy. Why don't you fill us in on how that went?
It was great. We had hundreds of kids there. Woodstock Academy on the South Campus hosted its first ever human rights conference, and I'm honored that they asked me to keynote and kick off the festivities this morning. And there are kids from a number of regional schools that are there, lots of school buses there, and they're now broken out into different sessions, and they're talking about food security and human rights and immigration and LGBTQ plus rights and women's rights. And so it's a big human rights conference today that's essentially run by the kids. And it was great to see them so motivated. I don't know how motivated I was in eighth grade at 8:30 in the morning, but they were definitely focused this morning.
Absolutely. That's excellent to hear. Can you kind of touch upon some of the themes that were went over in terms of obviously across the country, you know, human rights, whether it be LGBT, immigration, whatever the situation might be, you know, all big topics right now. What are some of the particular challenges that the state of Connecticut faces, and what are we doing to overcome those challenges?
Well, I think, you know, the kids were most focused and engaged around immigration and women's issues and LGBTQ plus issues. But really, they're very conversant in, their thoughts and concerns about respect and tolerance and, listening to each other and really crediting each other's points of view. And I thought that was very encouraging to see eighth graders through high school kids really able to engage in that way. And so, you know, we talked a lot about what the state faces in terms of our immigration issues and immigrant populations, particularly in our large cities, how we have a Trust Act here in Connecticut that protects and defends immigrants. It's a law that I helped to pass when I was in the legislature that passed unanimously in 2013. The difference between state government and the federal government and the important principles of federalism and how immigration and immigration enforcement is a matter for the federal government. And really what the state needs to focus on is its own public safety laws, and that state police and local police should be focused on local issues and not doing the federal government's job in immigration enforcement. Because that's the job of the federal government. So we talked about those issues, and obviously, you know, Connecticut is a leader on civil rights and respecting the rights of others, including the LGBTQ plus community, and I'm proud of that legacy, and we're leaders on criminal justice reform. So we talked about a lot of that this morning.
Yeah. Are there any bills in the legislature right now, any proposals being tossed around that you see as maybe sort of the next step in terms of keeping Connecticut on the road to being a leader in terms of civil rights with immigration or anything else for that matter?
Yeah, so unlike many of our neighboring states, Connecticut's Attorney General's office does not have a civil rights affirmative civil rights department or division. New York has one, Massachusetts has one, and many states, New Jersey, many states across the country have civil rights divisions or departments. We don't have that here in Connecticut. It became very clear to me during my time in the legislature and also as I was campaigning for this office that people wanted us to have one. You know, you can imagine a number of cases where, for example, people in the disabled community need help and advocates in areas such as housing discrimination or discrimination in employment. And that, you know, very often we have very strong laws to protect people and their civil rights, but laws don't mean much if they're just words in the statute books and there's no way to enforce them. And those folks may have a right, but they don't have a remedy which is what lawyers will often say. And so we want to make sure that people have a remedy and that we have a way of enforcing those laws. And the best place to do that is the Attorney General's office, because we have the experience and the lawyers to do that kind of work. And it's usually civil litigation. And we want to try to remedy systemic civil rights violations. And they do that in other states. And we think that Connecticut should follow suit. And that's a bill that we're strongly supporting and advocating for in legislature right now.
All right. And when it comes to the federal government at this point, obviously we know all around the country there are a lot of disputes in terms of the goals right now of the federal government and, you know, some of the state governments in terms of dealing with immigration and perhaps some other matters as well. Are there any challenges right now in particular that Connecticut is feeling in terms of, for example, sanctuary cities are always a big part of the conversation, threats to cuts of funding? What does that situation look like right now? How would you summarize that?
So a couple of things. The biggest fight over the last week or so that I've been dealing with is the fight in federal court in Texas over the Affordable Care Act. And, you know, this really isn't about left or right. I know that this has become a, you know, hot political issue. But the fact is the Affordable Care Act provides insurance for hundreds of thousands of people in Connecticut. And there are hundreds of thousands of people, roughly 500,000 people in Connecticut who have pre-existing conditions. There are thousands of people who are 26 and under who are on their parents' insurance. There are hundreds of thousands of people who have taken advantage of the exchange to buy insurance. I'm not saying the Affordable Care Act is perfect. I'm not saying the exchange is perfect. It's not. Insurance is still way too expensive. Healthcare is still way too expensive. But this provides a meaningful pathway for people to get insurance, not just for coverage, but for life. You know, people depend on medical care for life. I know that sounds like an elementary statement, but it's so true to remember that this is not a policy fight. It's not a philosophical battle. This is about making sure that people get health care. Now, I will add that related to that, Connecticut is leading a 49-state coalition in taking on the generic drug industry. And, you know, people often wonder, why are drug prices so high? And I can tell you why they're so high, in part because generic drugs, which are supposed to be cheaper, and the marketplace was supposed to drive down the price of generic drugs and drugs generally, is beset by rampant, overt price fixing by the major drug manufacturers. And Connecticut, that's our case. Connecticut's leading the country in that case. It's the biggest antitrust case, price-fixing case in the country against what we think is the largest private sector cartel in history, and I use that word purposefully, cartel, in that they're setting artificially generic drug prices sometimes 2,000, 3,000% higher than they did just a few years ago.
Wow. I know another topic, too, that you could probably fill us in on in some more detail regarding the Newtown shooting from several years ago. The question of whether or not a gun manufacturer can be sued. We've been following that at the state level for quite some time. What are some of the latest updates on that in terms of that court decision?
So the Supreme Court recently issued a decision. Some of the claims made by the plaintiffs, the families in that case, have been dismissed, but there is an important remaining claim, and that's a claim under the Connecticut Unfair Trade Practices Act. And the Supreme Court said that there could be liability under that act, which basically creates civil penalties for, including punitive damages for unfair trade practices, deceptive advertising. And I think that the theory is that the gun manufacturers engaged in deceptive advertising around the Bushmaster and around guns used in mass shootings, and that the Supreme Court said that that case should proceed, and that they should the plaintiffs should be able to try to prove their claims under the theory of deceptive advertising and marketing by the gun manufacturers.
I've read a lot of reports where that phrase, deceptive advertising, is used. Would you be able to illustrate maybe an example of how the advertising could be arguably deceptive, or, you know, what exactly, paint a picture for, you know, us, if you will, of that?
So, you know, in that area, if you promote advertising that that strongly suggests or claims that, you know, having a firearm is effective for self-defense, that that's really what it's for, and that there's no risk of danger to members of your family, or that there's no risk of danger to others in your community. And if you promote images of people with firearms where they're not being careful with the storage of their firearms, for example, or if they're not being practicing safe practices with respect to keeping and storing loaded or unloaded firearms. You know, if you present images and marketing that promote or support risky behavior with firearms, that's potentially deceptive. Or if you only tell one side of the story about self-defense and omit, you know, safety issues or actively conceal them, that can be deceptive. So, you know, that's one area in which, you know, manufacturers of any product can act deceptively. You know, another area that we saw that a lot as state attorneys general was with tobacco, right? And what was deceptive about that was that smoking for a long time was considered to be safe, right? And the deceptive advertising around that. And then later when they focused on children, right, with Joe the Camel,
yep,
and marketing practices focused on children that were clearly designed to entice children to smoke, but then claiming that, no, it wasn't targeted at children, it was just targeted at adults, and that itself was also deceptive. So that's another example.
And that's become a really big topic, too, recently with vaping and flavored cigarettes. We've seen, sure, a lot of legislation to try to address those from the philosophy of targeting specifically these items to kids, and what do we do about that?
Yeah, that's a huge issue. Our office is on the front lines of trying to figure out, not just for Connecticut, but on a multi-state national basis, what to do about it, because obviously there are good arguments that people have used vaping products to stop smoking. And so from a public health perspective, we want people to stop smoking, and smoking cessation products are beneficial in general terms. But, you know, if you've ever seen one of these little vaping products, and, you know, for example, the most celebrated is Juul, J-U-U-L, and some you know, people think that a little Juul device looks like a USB drive, and we're hearing that there's an epidemic of smoking by kids and young people because they can hide it. You hear stories about kids in school who are literally vaping in the back of the classroom and blowing the vape moisture into their arms, you know, into their forearms, into their clothing, so that the teachers won't see it. You know, that's very concerning. There's stories of kids coming to school and selling the vape products to younger kids. And so we understand it's a very, very serious problem in schools across our state, and we're trying to confront that challenge as attorneys general.
All right, absolutely. Well, Attorney General William Tom, going to take a quick commercial break. Please give us a call, 860-928-1350, and stay tuned to WINY 1350 AM and 97.1 FM.
Courtney Arsoniadis talks about wedding protection insurance from Girardi Insurance Services.
We have a wedding protection plan at Girardi Insurance. It's designed to help couples salvage some of their funds if something goes wrong. For example, you could lose your rings. You could damage your special attire for the day. 40% of claims come from venues closing or photographers not showing up. 23% are weather related. And in 2017, with all the hurricanes, pretty much anyone who had an outdoor wedding had to postpone it. We can also cover you for sickness or an injury. You can add on liability insurance or liquor liability insurance.
Is it expensive?
No. It starts at about $160. We certainly hope that everything goes smooth for you and everything is as planned, but if for some reason the weather forgets to save the date, we are here for you. Give us a call at Girardi Insurance Services. Our number is 860-928-7771.
And see them online at GirardiOnline.com. Stop by your local Dunkin' Donuts for two egg and cheese wake-up wraps for just $2. Get two bagels with cream cheese for $4 and two bacon egg and cheese sandwiches for $5. Have you tried the new Power Breakfast Sandwich? It's a veggie egg white omelet with spinach, peppers, and onions made with turkey sausage and American cheese on their new multi-grain round. See Courtney at the Kennedy Drive location, Marissa at the Thompson location, and Brittany and the crew on Route 44. Dunkin' Donuts, we're part of your community.
It's the NCAA Men's Basketball Tournament Final Four on WINY 1350 AM and 97.1 FM. The Final Four is here with games starting on Saturday at 6 o'clock as 5th seed Auburn takes on number 1 seed Virginia, immediately followed by 3rd seed Texas Tech facing number 2 seed Michigan State. The Final Four on WINY is presented by Day Kimball Healthcare, Basquets Appliance and TV, Girardi Insurance Services, King Cadillac GMC, and the law offices of Serentopolis and Serentopolis.
Forecast for northeastern Connecticut, mostly sunny, breezy, very dry today. A red flag warning in effect for the potential of the growth and spread of outdoor fires, 9 a.m. until 8 p.m., a high around 50. Tonight, partly cloudy, unseasonably cold, lows 24 to 28. And tomorrow, the clouds take over in the morning, rain showers by the afternoon, highs in the mid-40s, showers to sunshine Saturday, a high near 60. This is WYNY meteorologist Ryan Gallagher.
And here at Broadcast House, it's 46 degrees.
W-I-N-Y. Community Radio W-I-N-Y.
Good morning and welcome back to the WINY talk show. John Mahan filling in for Dave Ward. We have Attorney General William Tong on with us and we are taking questions. So let's take our first one. Good morning. You are on the air.
Good morning.
Hey, how are you?
Metro North. Contract is that, you know, it's a terrible contract and it was written a long time ago. Do we have a chance to renegotiate that?
I do hope that we do have the chance to renegotiate it. I don't know off the top of my head when that opportunity comes up again, but representing when I was in the legislature, Stamford, it's obviously a huge issue for us, and one of the challenges for a long time was that Connecticut didn't even have a seat on the board. And so you've got this organization that tells us what to do with the trains that we own and the track that we own, but we didn't even have a say in the operation of the railroad. And that is a huge challenge. We have the former head of Metro North now as our head of DOT here in Connecticut. So hopefully that will help.
I have another question on one-time fees coming into the state. Would it be your department that receives most of that? In other words, like a cigarette tax, you get money in. Does that come through the Attorney General's office, or how is that?
No, so in terms of taxes, obviously, most taxes are collected by the Department of Revenue Services, and, you know, one-time fees, I guess, depending on where they come from, may end up in the general fund or elsewhere. In terms of tobacco, however, we are a state that receives almost $100 million a year from the tobacco settlement that Senator Blumenthal inked with the other states some time ago, and that continues to pay a significant amount to Connecticut, and that goes directly to the general fund. But that's a result of the Attorney General's office's work.
And, sir, we thank you for your call. We're going to have to jump to another caller now because we want to make sure that we give everybody the opportunity to ask their question. Good morning. You are on the air.
Yeah, hey, good morning, John. Good morning, Attorney General. Is this Attorney General Tomlin, is it?
Yes, good morning.
Listen, I just want to say that in the last election, I was extremely gratified that you won a seat, that you won the Attorney General's office, because it's so, so important in statewide offices that we have folks like you, because we have a president who's using Attorney General nationwide as his own personal law firms. Law firm to push forward things onerous as voter suppression and getting rid of health care that people so badly need. And I did talk to a lot of folks during the election that the Attorney General's office in the state of Connecticut was going to be extremely, extremely important as long as Trump was in the White House. And I'm gratified you that you're there, sir. And folks like you can stand between us and Trump. And thank you so much.
Well, thank you for saying that. And one thing I want to add is there's a temptation to talk about these issues as if they're just political issues and they're philosophical issues and they're about right and left and Democrats and Republicans. And I think at the end of the day, they're not. These are everyday issues like health care that affect all of us. Immigration, by the way, affects all of us because so many immigrants are here and part of our economy. And there are so many regional businesses here in Eastern Connecticut that depend on immigrant workers, and having predictability and certainty in our immigration policy is important to businesses here in Eastern Connecticut as it is across the state. So these are everyday issues. They're not national issues. They're Connecticut issues, and it's proud to it's my honor to fight those fights, and I'm proud to do it.
And while we still have just a couple minutes left, we were talking a bit off air about the situation with trucks only tolling. We haven't heard so much of that from the governor. It seems that the focus now is on all vehicles, but there's still a battle going on, a legal battle in Rhode Island. Is that correct?
Yeah, the federal judge, I think, just tossed a challenge to Rhode Island's truck only statute. So that's a very interesting legal battle that's still unfolding, and obviously is instructive to what states like Connecticut can do.
A lot of people also bring up, too, they say, why not put just tolls around the borders of, Mass, Rhode Island, New York?
Because it's illegal.
Yeah, that was basically the answer I was expecting. But, everybody always brings that up, and it's good to hear just from the Attorney General that, yes, it is indeed not something that is a option that is legal.
Well, it's illegal, and, I started this morning on the other border, and I got up at the crack of dawn and hit the road at 6:20 from Stamford. But I live in basically a border area, and it's not fair to people like them, and it's not fair to people on this end of the state who live on the Rhode Island border or the Massachusetts border. And to have only tolls, if we do have tolls, only at the borders, only affecting those communities, is not only illegal, it's not fair.
Well, it's a question we get all the time, so I'm glad you gave a firm answer. So we appreciate that. Attorney General William Tong, thank you so much for joining us today on the WINY Talk Show.
Thank you. I hope you'll invite me back. I want to do the weather next time, so if you'll let me do weather and traffic.
All right, absolutely. Sounds like a plan. Thank you. WINY, 1350 AM and 97.1 FM.
Thanks.
1350 AM, WINY Putnam and 97.1 FM, W246DN Putnam. Online at WINYradio.com. Stand.